Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Lefchuk.
Thank you very much. OK, the weather today, highs of 8 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It's going to be brighter than yesterday. It's slightly colder, but overall dry with plenty of sunny spells. So great news as far as that's concerned. And just because actually he is back in the country. There we are. Thank you, Mike. In London, of course, so you're not able to catch up with them this time around. But the universe is all connected. And as we head over to the delights of Brecon Beacons, hand-poured, natural-scented candles made in the heart of the Brecon Beacons, with heart, of course, a young lady who we actually met, first of all, with her mum, actually, at the fabulous Burley Horse Trials last year, of course, 2013, and continue to go from strength to strength. Eve Thomas, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Hi, Alex.
Here we are, yes, the first official telephonic link with your good self over in the Principality, which is fantastic stuff, as that's concerned. So since we last spoke, obviously the company continues to grow. I mean, I'm looking at the whole system here. Luxury candles available in 7 fragrances, a whole range of factors there. The thing that both Ed Wellman and myself sort of noted when we were doing the audio postcard from the Burley Horse Trials was how you seem to have got that balance right between a fantastic product, sophisticated packaging, but nothing which looked cluttered or clumsy. It was a classy product. It is a classy product. Was that part and parcel of the sort of the setup when you were putting this whole thing together?
Yeah, I just wanted to keep it really simple, and we actually came up with the whole design, everything, within 48 hours, and we were just keeping it really, really simple and clean. It's a natural product and kind of reflected that in the packaging.
If there were awards, I'm sure there were, you should have actually won an award for best stall at the Burley Horse Trials. Did you manage to get a chance to see any of the action there? Did you leave your mum on stand duty whilst you had checked out the rest of the thing, or was it a case of, no, I'm pretty much staying here for the full 3 or 4 days?
No, I had a chance to wander around and do a bit of shopping.
Always
brilliant.
Important.
Oh, it's an awesome show. Absolutely brilliant. Well, I'd come in with a pony. I did all the stuff you get there. It was just brilliant.
Well, there we have it. And, of course, next week we'll be launching the first in our Lincolnshire Agricultural Society features, little programmes that we're doing to promote the excitements that will be happening with the Lincolnshire show. But let's go back to eVictoria Candles and just share with us how the company was founded, how you developed it in the first place.
It was last summer, we did a little village show. We started making some candles just on the kitchen hob and just dabbling, really, and just playing around, and decided to do a little village show. And from that, we picked up a trade order. So as I say, we had 48 hours then to come up with a brand, come up with a design, and to basically produce a candle for someone. And decided to go full-time with it then, and, yes, it's been my full-time job ever since. It's just gone literally from strength to strength, and... Yes, can be stocked in a rather large department store from next month.
Well, absolutely. Oh, we can mention John Lewis at least once.
We can.
Sorted through there. It's okay. We'll be following through because I know we're talking about hopefully doing at least a year in the life of eVictoria Candles from the way that thing develops and so on. You know, entrepreneurs are a strange and wonderful breed, and it's important we interconnect with that whole side of things and so on. I mean, this is a classic case of striking out at a time where perhaps the economic situation not the greatest and so on. Your mum must be very proud of you, good soul, to actually come up with this. You must be pretty happy yourself, really.
Oh, it's the best thing I've ever done. Like I said, I actually went to university and graduated during the recession. So when I graduated with law, I couldn't get a training contract. So I ended up working just in a small department store. I was really, really unhappy. And yeah, just the opportunity now to be working for myself and self-employed is the best thing I've ever done. So yeah, I suppose... Yeah, becoming an entrepreneur was my only way out, really. There was no jobs in the market for me in the field that I wanted to go in.
So listening to, obviously, what you're saying there, I'm thinking about some of our undergraduates, and obviously they're beginning to return to the University of Lincoln, or the home of Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM. What advice would you actually give to somebody who might be doing a degree in any particular topic that's actually, I mean, a vast range of degrees, etc.? Is it a case of pursue that little voice that actually says, go for this, there are positive lines out there, just follow your dreams?
Definitely persist. To say I had rejection after rejection. I was so down. Like, I'm not going to lie, it does. It really brings you down. But you've literally just got to stay positive and just keep trying. If that's really, really what you want to do, you've just got to keep at it. And you just get a lucky break then, I think. So most of my friends now, they just about managed to get training contracts. But it's 3 or 4 years since we graduated. You know, it's been a really long slog for them.
Okay, let's move on in terms of, obviously, the roadshow of E. Victoria Candles and so on. Just talk us through, shall we say, the next couple of weeks or so. Where will you be actually heading? Where can people actually see you in person? And we'll give the web address out, obviously, as well. But how can people actually connect with you?
Week after, on the 2nd of February, I'm doing a really, really big trade show in Birmingham. So that will be an opportunity to showcase centre new stock.
That'll create great excitement for Katie Grimerson, our Birmingham correspondent. She's very keen about that.
Definitely come and see me. And then my first retail show then of the year is in Sudley Castle, which is on the 24th of April. So that'll be a retail show then where I can sell directly to the public then with my products.
Which makes perfect sense, of course. And as I say, hopefully we'll be following you through that whole sort of things. Just out of interest, do you like the interaction with the public at these kind of shows, which, as we frequently said, have kind of replaced the traditional high street insofar as if you're looking for, you know, quirky gifts, presents, lines which are specifically unique as opposed to mass-produced material. You know, these are the sort of areas that really kind of benefit. Do you like that, or do you prefer to say, no, I want to stay at the Brecon Beacons?
No, I love doing shows. I say, like, last 18 months I've travelled up and down the country, I've seen parts of the country I never would have seen otherwise, and it's brilliant, really, really good. Like I said, meeting direct with the public. I always trial new products as well at retail shows. I've got a new fragrance which I want to launch for September, but I'll be trialling that now in my first couple of shows of the year just to make sure for customer feedback, really. And see what they think of it.
You see, this is one of the reasons Holly Cox, who is currently sort of off to work herself, but was on the show last night, was saying she really wishes to she could actually sort of have a good sniffing session with respect to the quality of E. Victoria Candles. It's important. The web address, of course, is the usual, www.evictoriacandles.co.uk. As we say, you can also be like, do we like you on Facebook? I'm not sure we do. I'm sure we will. I'll do it by the end of the day, basically. facebook.com/evictoria.
Okay, I'll make sure you do, Alex.
Exactly, yeah, so it's all sorted on through on that basis. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself then? What I mean, is it a case of you move on from this to plan the next stage of global domination? Alan Sugar, eat your heart out. Moves on the case.
I got a couple of emails now to send this morning, a couple of phone calls, and then later half the day I'll be back in the workshop. So I got a lot of stock to produce now because we have this trade show coming up next week. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, producing as much stock as I physically can now in the next couple of days.
Yep, fantastic. Okay. And the trade show, once again, is in?
The MEC in Birmingham.
Yeah, we are, you said. Just wanted to clarify that, because obviously people could have headed off to Birmingham and think, where is it? Where's it happening? Etc. Of course, it's the NEC, so it's great
Hall
stuff.
Hall 6, there. I'm in.
That's okay. Eve, it's been fabulous connecting with your good self, as ever. I think, musically speaking, I know it's a cliche, but I'll give you the choice. We can either go for Chris Rea and Candles, or indeed Elton John with Candle in the Wind. Where do you think we should actually go in terms of musical choices? Candles, Chris Rea, or Candle in the Wind, Elton John?
It's got to be Candle in the Wind, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, it keeps the sort of general kind of line going on that basis. So two final questions for your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I've been really, really nervous. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Yeah, I loved it.
You see, we connected with respect to, obviously, the show itself. The rest of the team who normally are in are obviously sort of just exhausted with the whole thing, and they're just sort of relaxing in their own sort of setup, etc. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again on a fairly regular basis, actually? I mean, I think, you know, you're up there, you're bright and sparky, etc. I think, you know, it's a nice little start to the show. Would you be up? Hopefully, challenges with respect to dentistry and all the rest of it is to one side. Hopefully all set to actually join us again next Thursday around about same time 8 a.m.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Give or take how my wisdom teeth goes. Yeah,
well,
I'll speak to you next Thursday.
There you are. You see, Eve Thomas, she will return.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex.
Goodbye, candle burned out long before legend ever grew.
Extraordinary what resonates with the wonderful listener in listener land of radio, etc. And it seems the Beaver Patrol obviously caught the imagination from yesterday, of course, Melanie Crouch, because we've had a concept that people just can't wait to actually hear the Beaver Leader jingle. Still, never mind. It's a case of good morning to Nikki Wells, of course, who hopefully has recovered from her own experience with respect to the family into beavers.
Nikki Wells, rock star, romance trilogy creator, mother, cook, and officially, the first German midweek drive rocket.
Yeah, very exciting. And she will be back with us probably February time, I would have thought, so we recover from the joys and excitement of Tusk featuring Sophie, which gets another airing in about 15 or so minutes from now. Meanwhile, time to press this button here.
From international who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Indeed, as the time approaches 16 minutes past 8 o'clock on Thursday, January the 16th, 2014. And it seems like only 3 days ago we were doing a Golden Globe special. And lo and behold, Richard, we've got the Academy Award nominations out today. And we're into The Wolf, as opposed to The Wolf of Wall Street. And it's just all go, isn't it?
Well, it is. But it's exciting, and I always find that the adrenaline flows at this time of year because, firstly, it's not just we're talking about films, and some are good, and as you know, some are not. In this particular case this year, it's the highest standard I can remember, and I mean, that really is saying something. It's terrific. It's not only just the drama films in the Globes and in the forthcoming Oscar nominations, where you can go, in fact, go up to 10, Oscar returning to its youth's roots because this happened in the 1930s, but also the comedies, such a high standard, The Wolf, of which we'll be talking about in a few minutes, and also Inside Llewyn Davis and Nebraska and American Hustle. I mean, this is wonderful. It's really something that, you know, it's... Look at those performances. Look at the intense competition. Say, it's a shame we can't give more than one award. I mean, I wanted briefly to recommend, because we hadn't dealt with it in detail, everybody does or should know the story of Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. I do think it's a film that everyone should see. I do think it's an extremely fine film. I think the reason, because it was so long in the making and it had the family's support, and when you're making a docudrama,
it's got music by Bono and The Edge, of course, you know, U2, they're sort of connecting into it, Idris Elba, what can we say?
Well, we can say it's first class. We can also say, no, there isn't new material, but then we know this remarkable man's story, and it's very moving. It's got excellent performances by Idris Elba as Nelson Mandela, the third Mandela I've seen, included, of course, Morgan Freeman in Invictus and Dennis Haysbert in Goodbye Bafana, and Naomi Harris as Winnie Mandela, a superb performance, and it does remind you how beautiful and how fashionable she was, and how she was brutalized, and what she turned into. But it's excellent. Yes, there are certain scenes that perhaps could have been done in a different way, and there are scenes with ferocious impact, such as the Sharpeville Massacre, but let it be recommended. Docudramas always have the problem that you're condensing many years, Nelson Mandela's 27 years imprisonment, in a very short space of time, 2.5 hours. You couldn't have had the film that much longer. Of course, it leaves a lot out, and of course, things could have been handled in a different way, but it's very, very good, and it's well scripted. On the whole, it's extremely well directed, and it's a movie to see.
Well, you wouldn't have had to worry about the long walk if you actually took the train, as in The Railway Man. Did you see what I did there, Richard?
You can't jump from the story of Nelson Mandela to The Railway Man without, I think, dealing with the wolf.
Really? I see. Okay. Well, that's where we obviously need to run to get away from the wolf, clearly.
Well, The Wolf of Wall Street is one of those extraordinary movies. It's made by, well, I ought to emphasize, Martin Scorsese, and it's been highly controversial. Let's first deal
with... It actually features a cameo by the person whose actually life is based on the whole thing, really. So you've even got that in there.
You've got a lot in The Wolf of Wall Street, but let's nail the lie that the movie endorses the excessive, extraordinary...
Just because we've actually had a request with respect to the midweek drive that you actually sort of launch a show with several hundred women marching through the whole sort of studios in scantily clad... That's not going to happen, you know? We have our sensitivities. You know,
I was hoping it might, but there it is.
It's a possibility. Well, let's say we're in negotiations. I don't know.
A bit of dwarf throwing, perhaps, not to mention...
Unlikely. Yeah.
I mean, this one has to say this movie, but it it brings to mind what happened last year at the Oscars with Zero Dark Thirty, which was Catherine Bigelow's superlative account, also a docudrama, about the killing of Osama bin Laden. And the facts were that she was accused because she depicted torture of endorsing it. So Scorsese, and all of this is dirt being thrown at him just before the Oscars, is being accused of endorsing or playing down aspects that are deplorable, so that this film, to some extent, glorifies. Well, the whole point is that it's a Faustian pact with the audience. Jordan Belfort was one of the worst possible crooks. And Leonardo DiCaprio, in his best role, he's better than he was with The Great Gatsby, which is an ambiguous and extraordinary role, which didn't somehow work as well as it might. He's back in the form, and in better form than he was in Gatsby.
Jordan was indeed a crook, but then he went again and actually gave advice on how other people could do the same thing. That's the two thing. It was a double whammy.
Oh, it's extraordinary as a story. This is a movie to see, because you've got this unbelievable behavior, almost as though a university fraternity and all this weird bonding was to perpetuate itself subsequently. I'm thinking of the relationship between Jordan, played by DiCaprio, and Donny Azoff, his partner, played by Jonah Hill. My goodness gracious, when they get on the drugs. A movie to see what to avoid, but also a fascinating glimpse into excess. Indeed it is, and there are scenes that are quite amazing in this movie. There's also a cameo by Joanna Lumley, which is unforgettably funny. And it also shows the problem that if you transfer money to Switzerland and the person whose name it's transferred dies.
I mean, there we are. Obviously, we wouldn't advise or counsel that in any way, shape or form. Richard.
And the life of an FBI detective who is trying to track Belfort down. I mean, there are touches in this movie which are masterly, because it's holding a mirror up to the audience and it's challenging the audience. If you believe that this sort of extravagant, excessive, amazing life with the numbers of swear words being probably a record, if you think this is attractive, there's a lot, a very, very great deal that's wrong with you.
Well, there we
go. Other than that, fraud and corruption in the 1990s, it's not that long ago, and my goodness me, when Jordan Belfort loses his job in 1987 at Black Monday and subsequently starts Stratton Oakmont, this is... Well, it's some of these scenes are unbelievable, but apparently they happen.
I'm sure if you're an RBS executive, you would find them sort of carry a whole range of things which are close to home. Obviously, other banks are available. I just raised that as a sort of interesting side point, but they were.
I think it's a very important point to raise, because you could hold up this as a mirror also to look into what's been happening in a large number of institutions. I mean, there are indeed extraordinary and horrifying, looking at the fate of banks in recent years and financial institutions, examples of excess. This is just amazing. But DiCaprio is absolutely first class. Jonah Hill, also, all the cast are good. And there's an easy visual style, and yes, it plays with the viewer, because it holds up a choice, hardly a difficult choice for anyone with the remotest amount of morality.
Scorsese's on
top form.
Well, there we have it. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill and Joanna Lumley. What's not to appreciate about The Wolf of Wall Street? Let's move on, apart from the 500 swear words or thereabouts, to The Railway Man.
It's very moving. It's directed by Jonathan Teplitsky, and it adapts Eric Lomax's autobiography. And Colin Firth is Lomax, a British officer captured by the Japanese in Singapore during World War II, and savagely tortured and beaten. Jeremy Irvine plays the young Alec Lomax. Nicole Kidman, Eric's wife Patty, and it's also got Stellan Skarsgård in it as an older Finley, who is his great friend, in the camp where he's forced to work on the Burma Railway. And it is a moving film. The story is not told extremely satisfactorily, because the nightmares and the traumas that he experiences, that we see him struggle with after his marriage to Patty, involve, for example, the a Japanese torturer popping up in an English country field and so forth, but it's supposed to indicate the horror of what he went through. And there's no doubt this is a very moving story. I think most people do know climactically what happens, but suffice it to say that it is worth seeing. It's not totally satisfactorily told because it does jump around a tremendous amount and not all the imagery works. But Firth is superb, and Lomax is one of those who has a stiff upper lip, but also he's experienced a living hell, and it's perhaps time to be reminded yet again, and we've not heard that much about it, because films, apart from The Bridge on the River Kwai, I can't think of many which have depicted the fate of Britons at the hands of the Japanese in this particular way. I mean, the torture scenes really are horrific.
So, a triple whammy then of hard-hitting numbers in many ways, although you might arguably say one of them is a kind of comedy drama after a fashion, allowing for the two faces of comedy, life, tragedy, all the rest of the bits and pieces. Long Walk to Freedom, The Wolf of Wall Street, and The Railway Man. Those presumably would be your key points for this second Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Richard Fitzwilliam's feature of 2014.
And I would also mention, time to go into Oscar predictions for the nominations?
2 minutes, Richard. Let's deal with the headliners. I mean, we talked about this a little time before, and I have a feeling that we might see a slight reversal of what we saw in the Golden Globes. But it'd be nice to see Gravity win. There we are.
Now, well, you're certainly right that there will be a slight reversal, I suspect, if only because of the 6,000 voters of the Academy, of course, they were two rounds of voting, and we must mention that the actors' branch is the largest and therefore most powerful, and Gravity had these superlative effects, but of course the acting in 12 Years a Slave, I mean, that I suspect will be something that will be in its favour, and also, of course, its rather searing, horrific story. And there's no doubt that unless American Hustle manages, and all three films, of course, will be in the top 10. I suspect it'll be definitely 12 years, but best actor is far too close to call. Matthew McConaughey, perhaps even Bruce Dern from Nebraska, or Chiwetel Ejiofor. I mean, it could be anybody. You really, really can't predict that. It even could be DiCaprio. We've been talking about Tom Hanks as Captain Phillips. I suspect will be the fifth nominee. Best actress, we know Cate Blanchett, superb in Blue Jasmine. Best supporting actor, Jared Leto as a transsexual HIV AIDS sufferer in the Dallas Buyers Club, set in the 1980s. Perhaps even the late James Gandolfini might nominated for Nuff Said, he was so good in that. Michael Fassbender and Barkhad Abdi as the pirate in Captain Phillips 2, and Bradley Cooper, American Hustle, I think they'll be the other contenders. Best Supporting Actress, I believe the Globes will have Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle, I think Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave. Two of them will battle it out. Best Director, Gravity, of course, had the nod at the Globes. My bet would be for Steve McQueen. We shall see. And Best Foreign Film, well, blue is the warmest colour. I suspect we'll beat The Great Beauty, but that has become controversial owing to comments made by its actresses about how they were treated. It is a brilliant film. So let's wait and see. But all these films, I'm sure, will be in the list of nominations. And then we wait until the 2nd of March.
Coming up, we'll be speaking to Dr. Damien Rowland, senior paediatrician and co-founder of NHS Change Day, where everyone, including you, Richard Fitzwilliam, is going to have their say in what they'd like to change about the NHS. It's coming on March the 3rd, so interesting stuff on that one. Ian Lennox is also joining us from Newcastle, and Joe Billington from the National Career Service. But now, Richard Fitzwilliams, have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, I certainly have. We've crammed in quite a lot.
Well, you see, this has been the hat trick because clearly, you know, other co-presenters have decided they just can't cope with these early morning starts, and they just thought we'll just stay away. So the team, as I say, is the listener and ourselves, Richard, which is important. You know, I think we've bonded very positively about that. So I take it then you'll be back with us next week, say a similar time slot.
Well, yes, indeed, because I mean next week We've got Meryl Streep on...
Well,
amazing...
Natalie Tuck will be delighted about that one, certainly.
Yes, well, she's the monstrous matriarch in August Osage County, and also inside Llewelyn Davis, the Coen Brothers film. And we'll be looking back, of course, at what was nominated at the Oscars.
And we need to squeeze that into the first official Lincolnshire Country Show special that we're having. Well, we'll have Amelia Highfield and others joining us in the studio to actually talk about the excitement that will be taking place in June this year with the 130th Lincolnshire Show. So I'm sure we'll have lots to actually fit in.
Hi, this is Becca.
This is Alex.
This is Amy.
From Jive Pony.
And you're listening to the Midweek Jive on Siren FM.